Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Good afternoon, and welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. Today, we're talking about blocks, those energetic patterns that are keeping you stuck in your finances, your life, your health, or your relationships. Today's guest is Gerda Victor. She is a master's in mental health counseling with 20 years of experience in mind, body, and energy therapy. She's going to help us take a look at those patterns in our lives that are keeping us stuck, trapping us in patterns we wish to break. She uses her experience as a master counselor and a body healer to help people remove these energetic blocks in their life. So after today's episode, you should be able to understand how trauma can affect patterns in your life, how love, health, and financial success are really driven by releasing these unconscious patterns, and how you can start achieving higher income months by doing the internal work to get there. So I'd love to welcome Gerda to the podcast today. Hi, happy Friday.
Hi, Karen. Happy Friday. Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to have this conversation. I know when we do our prep calls sometimes, you just know it's going to be a juicy show because a conversation that's supposed to last 15 minutes goes on triple that time. And that's exactly what happened to us, right? So there's so much to talk about. And one of the places that I'd love to start, because you have such an interesting background and you've really done so many things professionally, maybe you can start and ground the audience of how you really work on both counseling from a traditional perspective, but how your work as a body worker and a healer and an intuitive also come into play in your role in the world.
Wow. You know, sometimes I get asked these questions and it's like, how do I unpack this, right? Because it wasn't necessarily something that I mapped out. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then, you know, for me, it's always been for one reason or another, I'm guided to one thing and I'm immersed in that one thing. And then I uncover something else. And then I go into that thing and I always look for the common thread. But really what it is this is where sometimes I remind people, you know, sometimes the things that we judge about ourselves that we think is a wrongness is actually a gift. So for me, it was always looking for more. Like, there's something missing here. What can I add here to help people? So I started, you know, my track or my career, if you will, in this arena of transformational work from coming at it strictly from the body, helping people get healthy from being a personal trainer, massage therapist, yoga teacher. And I remember being in massage school, one of our teachers would say, the issues are in your tissues. Now, when I went to massage school, I was right out of college. A lot of the things that I was taught was about the mechanics of the body and the physiology of the body. There was nothing about energy, anything about how your emotional state, your mental state can actually affect your body, aside from push yourself at the gym. So when I got into massage, you know, that the issues are in your tissue, you know, we laugh, you know, we would joke around with each other in school, right, about this thing. And as I, you know, finished school and started to learn, I became intrigued. I became really intrigued by this idea of energy. We would do these exercises in class to play around with energy. And it was like, whoa, tapping into something that you can't touch, but you can actually sense. And we all have this. It's just, for most people, it's not fine-tuned. It's not really cultivated. And so when I left massage, when I completed massage school and I was working as a massage therapist, what started happening for me is that I would have clients break down on the massage table, or people would reveal, or a memory of a past trauma years ago would come up out of nowhere, and they would share that with me. And I would be like, oh my God, the issues in the tissues.
I mean, I think that is so true though, because I've had that experience a few times in meeting different people in my life. And I actually had the same experience on our podcast prep phone call. There was something about the way that you asked the questions and showed up in that call that brought out a vulnerability in me. And I got teary in our conversation. That has happened to me with a few other energy workers in the course of my experience. And it truly is a gift. So I think one of the really important things for people to hear in this conversation is that the storing of trauma does often manifest itself in physical conditions. And even though you have both the traditional massage therapy practice and counseling practice, you were really able to uncover some of these traumas that people had buried for years by simply touching and feeling their body, which is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, that's really what opened my eyes. Like I said, you know, in the beginning, I was still not quite sure what that was. And when this started happening, and I was like, there is something there. And, you know, that ignited something in me now to want to help people even more to heal from a holistic perspective, you know, because working as a massage therapist, counseling is out of my scope of practice.
But you were finding yourself doing that, right? They're on the table and you're helping them create breakthroughs. And you think to yourself, okay, I love what I'm doing. I love uncovering these blocks. But to take this to the next level, I'm going to have to formalize training and getting a master's in counseling.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really what led me to pursue my master's in mental health and counseling, specifically being a trauma-informed clinician, because now this wasn't something I was being told. I had evidence that this was true, you know, from my experience of working with people. So I was really excited to be able to bridge the two worlds and to really offer people dynamic shifts all around in their life from releasing pain. And, you know, when I was doing my degree, my thesis was specifically on the topic of what we call somatoform disorders or psychosomatic condition. It was specifically looking how trauma trapped in the body, unprocessed, does lead to physical pain. So when I worked as a massage therapist, that was one of the things that I really tried to educate my clients on, was to really look at what's going on beyond the physical pain, because our bodies are really designed to heal itself, to be at its optimal, you know, functional health. But when you have these blockages that you are unaware of, I'll give you an example. A lot of time people will come and they will say, I had a client in particular came and had this back pain, did all kinds of things, acupuncture, physical therapy, I'm not 100% sure if he had surgery, but it was like all this pain. He used to work as a truck driver and was advised, you know, was told that it was driving, sitting in the truck driving all day, that was creating the back pain. So he stopped, he changed career, got acupuncture, got better, and then the pain came back. And by the time he got to me and I was talking and I was asking him, and he said, well, and so this is what happens. People will have an actual physical injury and they would say, oh, it was so long ago. And I said, well, okay, what was your injury? This person was hit by a truck at 17 years old. And he's like, but I'm fine. And I'm like, what? And he's telling me how he saw it coming. And I'm like, of course. Can you imagine being 17 and having your whole life ahead of you and seeing a truck coming for you? Can you, I mean, aside from the trauma, from the physical impact, can you imagine what was happening on the psychological and emotional level that never got addressed? Because the physical aspect of the trauma that was visible got addressed and you got better, but that aspect. So a lot of times the trauma, especially when it's a physical trauma, there's actually an emotional component of the trauma that resides in the body on an energetic plane that is unresolved. That's why people will have all kinds of treatments and nothing will help.
Is it almost the idea that perhaps the pain is sitting in the back, and that idea that he's constantly on edge on what's going to happen next because that was such a traumatic incident? So that could be manifested as back pain or headaches or whatever it is.
It's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is, but the sense that I got from that person, which is like, you know, how what you said about like how I would ask question, I would tune in and I would just feel where the energy is stuck. And I would ask the question, like, you know, he was like, I had an accident. I was like, oh, okay. But then something was like, ask him more specifically about the accident. Stop. What happened? And it was like, oh.
There's your answer. So
yeah.
People that are listening, sometimes the word trauma can really have many different definitions depending upon the frame of reference that you sit with. So when you talk about trauma, can you talk about, are we discussing things that are commonly understood as trauma, whether it's sexual abuse or other forms of challenging relationships? Or can trauma have a more broad definition and really be anything that the human who experiences has, you know, a negative emotional reaction to?
Yes. So it's more the latter, right? And I think like that's why this is so nuanced, and that's why sometimes it's challenging for people to actually get the service, get the help that they actually need. Because most people, when they think of trauma, they think of what I would call the big T traumas, right? Like a sexual abuse or a violent attack or a, you know, injuries. But they don't, but what trauma really is, it is the latter. It's this thing that happened. And because we know stories of people who have experienced similar things or exact same situations, but their life looked completely different. Why is that? Right? So it's really about the person, the individual. So the trauma is not really what happened. It's more so how the individual responds to what happened and how what happened has impacted their life, how what happened had informs now how they see the world, how they move about the world. So from that perspective, trauma can almost do anything. It can be emotional, which we know, psychological, financial, which is the space that I really work with people on, is finances. But there's usually something that happened and that person, mind or psyche, just was unable to process it or created stories around it about what it means to be who they are, what it means to be who they are in the world. And that is what informs the choices, the actions, the decisions that they make. And this is why people who experience trauma tend to re-experience trauma. Because they're functioning.
I love that. I mean, I don't love trauma, but I like this definition, right? I like this definition because you helped me reframe it in my mind in a very different way, which is this idea that if our body is energy, and if we have anything that impacts our energy and gives us a sense, if you're thinking of an electronic, like a small short circuit, that's what the trauma is. It's anything impacting the flow of our energy in the most optimal way. So that could be many things, many patterns, many experiences. And that is a very nice way of opening it up. It also helps people understand that you don't have to qualify your quote unquote trauma or your energy disturbance, because anything could do that. You know, it doesn't have to be what other people would assume to be a monstrous event that could be giving your block. So that we've sort of established some of the types of patterns that people come to you with, how do you start getting people aware of what may be blocking them so that they can start getting on a path to healing?
I love that question. And the key word you said in there is aware. And I love your reframing. It is a short circuit, right? And what happened after this disruption has happened in the energetic system, there's a part that wants to remedy that. There's a part of you that wants to get things back online, and it just doesn't know how to do that. So it's like it wants to go back and fix things. And this is where people tend to be blocked, because there's a part that wants to go back and fix that. You know, people get in their head, oh, I wish I had done this different. I wish I would have said this. How could I have let this happen? This is the part that's looking to go back and right this wrong or change this thing to get things back online.
So we're thinking about the energetic disruption keeps happening again and again and again. And you almost need like a system reboot. Like you need to fire up the computer, turn it off, turn it back on again, start over. Cause the error message, if one might say, keeps refiring, repeating, getting you back to that stuff. That's really interesting. I've never heard anyone describe it like that. That's a good way to bring it to life and make it feel more tangible and less like we're talking about, you know, woo woo spiritual practices that don't necessarily make sense to everyone.
Right. And so this is where the awareness comes in. So really this is what I help people bring down, bring the awareness that first of all, this is what's going on. And how you take your power back is recognize that this moment now is where you start, not going back to reboot, reset. You know, it's like, I think it might be time for a new computer.
Oh, that's really beautiful. I mean, I think you're so right, because people talk about that a lot. You know, there are fans of different types of psychological processes to help you get through challenging times in your life. But one of the things that you're saying, which I think is very true, at least for me and my experiences, is that spending a lot of time talking and reliving the pain for me has never been hugely helpful. It's always about how do you take that experience, summarize it, and then move on. So I think what you've done in a lot of your energetic work is that you try to help people recognize that there is a challenge, be aware that there might be an energetic block around an experience that happened to them. And then you put all of your intention and your energy into what do we do next? Not what happened, but what's now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is the most empowering thing someone can do. And, you know, I've tried those other modalities, right? You know, I believe every tool works. Every tool works to the degree that it is applied, and every tool works to get you to the next thing. There are a lot of people who say, oh, well, I tried this, this didn't work, or da 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 da. But it came into your space for a reason, and it opened you up to the next level. So I don't say this work, that doesn't work. I think everything does work. And when you get to the point like this is not working for you, I say congratulations. That means you up level. So get yourself a different tool, like a more powerful tool or something like that. And what I did find in counseling was that there was a lot of reliving and staying sort of like in that same space. There wasn't a lot of growth. There wasn't a lot of expansion, because a lot of a lot of people came still feeling stuck and unempowered. Is that a word? Did I just make that up?
I don't know. It sounds like a real word to me, so we're going to go with it.
And my whole thing is about empowering people, because the truth is, how many times have we heard you can't change the past?
Yeah.
So that tells us our work is not in the past. Our work is in this moment now.
Yeah. And our, yeah, now being now, and by our working in the now, we impact our future being. Well, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is there are lots of coaches and practitioners that help people create change in their life. And one of the ways in which you really focus your work is around financial success and abundance. And when we talked and prepped for this episode, you said primarily you find yourself working with a large amount of women who are facing blocks with feeling like they can generate generous income streams for themselves. And a lot of blocks in some of these cases come from previous life histories where they felt that perhaps someone else was going to care for them, whether that is a very patriarchal childhood, whether that was a partner that was financing a lot of the lifestyle. Can you help us talk a little bit, or can you talk to us a little bit about the pattern of the type of people that you're helping and how some of these blocks, specifically financially, seem to pop up in their lives?
Yeah. Wow. So the big thing is, I'm going to say the cliche thing, is that a lot of women are really not owning what you hear people say, owning their power. And for me, what that really means is that they are not really owning their space in the world. And how that shows up in money, if you're not. So this is where body and money, right? I always say this, you need money because you have a body. In the healing world, spiritual world, people do this separation thing where my spirituality is over here and my body is over here. and, you know, the whole, all the lies about money being unspiritual, evil, and this and that, they are all lies. Spirit doesn't need money. What need would a spirit have for money, right? So you are here in the body. Money is a requirement to do life on planet Earth, period. So get on board with that. That's the first thing.
You almost see that money is a physical manifestation of power.
I don't see money as it could be. It could be, right? But the power is your ability to generate money. Money is not the power. You are the power. It's your ability to use your resources, your wisdom, your know-how to generate money. And I think this is where sometimes the confusion comes up, because people fear money, especially women, because of all these different identities that we've put on to money. You know, if a woman is in her, what we would say, in her power, and she's wealthy, she's making money, she'll be called a bitch, or she's this. So because women don't want to, or be labeled or put in the same category as men, that people judge as arrogant and cocky because, you know, they have money and they have power, women kind of dim down because they don't want to be labeled as such. So a lot of the work that I do is actually, first of all, let's look at what money really is and look at who you are as a creator with the power, with the ability to generate anything you want, as much money as you want and as little as you want. The choice is yours. Money is neutral.
And I think what you're saying there is really important, because people could be having a visceral reaction. I mean, money is such a charged topic. But what I believe you're really saying is that in a lot of your potential clients, money feels to be the thing that they are most concerned about. So it is the topic that you choose to tackle with them to demonstrate their ability to change the outcome and have anything that they want energetically. But you're doing that through the lens of money. And for other people who are hearing this, maybe money doesn't resonate with them, but they could say, find and replace with health, love, relationships, whatever that thing is that really drives them. And in your case, you're really tailoring your message, because your audience is saying, help me with the money first.
Right. So you know what's really interesting about that? The other thing that I say is that money touches everything. People will come in and say, yes, money is the problem. I can't make money. I can't generate money, blah, 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 blah. And when I start to work with them, yes, there's money beliefs. There's, you know, what we call money blocks. But that's a lot of time, that's not where the energy is stuck. The energy is stuck somewhere else in their life, whether it's within their relationship with their partner, their relationship with their body. It's usually there is somewhere else that they have this pattern that they're doing, which is blocking their ability to show up in the way that they could show up in their business to draw in the clients and the money that they want in the business. So a lot of times people will come in, we'll find out, there's something else going on. I'm having an issue with my brother. Or, oh my God, I realized the reason I can't make money is because I loaned my brother money 5 years ago and he hasn't paid me back and I'm afraid to ask for it. And then now everyone in the family hates me. Like, these things come up. And unless we clear that, those things, or, you know, the person doesn't have appropriate boundaries, right? There's this fear of making money. If I start to make money, people are going to come and ask me for money all the time. Because so the issue is not people coming to ask you for money all the time. The issue is you don't have boundaries. You don't know how to say no without feeling guilty. You know, it's the belief that if I have it, I must give it. I have to help everyone. And it's like, that's not true. So that's, you know, some of the things that will come up that we'll work through. So the blocks are not all, it's not always 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Because I mean, if you think of the body as an interconnected unit, I mean, anytime there is, you know, a clogged pipe in the system, you're going to see an impact in some aspect of the life, right? Whether it's finances or health or relationships or profitability or whatever that actually is. That's really interesting. Yeah. So maybe you can give us an example without any, you know, identifying details of a typical client that you've helped and how you have kind of walked them through this process to not only identify the blocks, but when you know what the blocks are, what the heck do you do to get rid of them? Yep. And she's going to dial back in and get back online so we can really dive into one of these examples of how a typical client might actually have one of these breakthrough experiences where they come and say, I now recognize my pattern and this is how I can remove it going forward. Gerda, do we have you back?
Yes.
I don't know what happened. The internet. You never know what's going to happen, right? So you're just talking about, you were going to give us an example of, you know, somebody that has a block and then, you know, you got blocked energetically from the airwaves. So I think this was a scientific experiment to really show people what it looks and feels like. So go ahead and give us one of your examples of how, you know, someone might have a block and be able to release it.
Right. So what I was saying in that example of the client that there was an issue within the family. So what would be required in that situation is to have that conversation. That conversation that you are avoiding to have with your brother. You know,
I can give us the details of that again, because we did lose you for a minute. So I don't think we've got
Okay. Yeah. So this particular client was wanting to make money in her business. So the first thing we had to do was look at her offering, right? Like, did the structure of her offering make sense for the life she wanted to live? So that's one area that we look at. Because if you have a business, you are paying yourself, you are your boss, what you're charging, what you're bringing in should make sense for you to live the life that you want to live.
100%. I mean, I start with all of my entrepreneurial and startup clients at this exact place too. Because there's too many times where people can come and want to achieve a certain level in their business, yet maybe they're only wanting truly when you ask them to work 20 hours a week. And mm-hmm. You know, if they're providing one-on-one services, they want to make a certain amount of money. Sometimes the hours that they want to work with the amount of money they're charging and the amount of hours it would take to do it don't add up. So I 100% agree with you. I do that exercise with my clients as well.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people doing this work get burnt out, you know, specifically because the numbers don't add up. So I really have people look at every areas of their life, not just what you want your business to bring in, but like, do you want to get monthly massages? Do you want to travel, you know, 2 or 3 times a year? You know, do you want to have a personal shopper? And so this is where a lot of things come up where it's like, I can't have that. Oh my God. Oh, what would my family say? Oh my God. People would think I'm such a bitch and, you know, all the things. And, we look specifically where the block is. So the client that I was speaking of had an issue in the family with the brother whom she had loaned money to. This particular client had loaned money to her brother for a project, and he never paid her back. Years went on, didn't give her anything. Yet here she is now struggling, trying to build her own business. And I had to tell her, like, do you see, like, so not asking for the money back, it's like basically you saying you don't want to get paid. That's why.
Right. And then showing up again and again in your business where you're not getting paid.
Exactly. You know, with either like flighty clients or, you know, people buying packages or people on payment plans, they missing appointments, all this thing, you know what I mean? But in the back of her mind, right? It'd be different if he didn't pay. And she's like, I'm totally okay with it. I've let it go. Right. And people love to say they let things go when in reality they have not. So we had to look at like, what's up with that? Like, why aren't you asking this person for your money? Right? And that led to even why the loan even happened in the first place. That it wasn't, it was kind of a forced thing. I did it because I thought I had to. So it's like, again, looking at all the places that you're doing things because you have to, not because you genuinely want to. So when you're functioning from that place, your energy is blocked. So what we had to do was like, okay, tell the truth about this. So truth is a big thing with me and my clients. Tell the truth. And you go in to ask for your money. And not worry about what it will do to the family. Because the thing is that, oh, if I do this, it might stir up things in their family. And I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to ruffle feathers and things like that. And it's like, well, your money's in the feathers. So you better go ruffle some feathers.
So with this particular client, did reaching out to the brother to sort of heal that backstory and take back her power to ask for what she essentially, you know, deserved and felt consistent with her values, did that sort of change the tenor of her relationship with her business?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she got a new space, like it just opened up. And this is how you see where this was, like where the big block was, right? It just opened up, everything changed completely. Her offerings changed. She got a new space. And it was just like, wow, I have been sitting and holding onto this for so long. And there was probably something so with people, there's always something that says you should do this thing, but we pull back, we get afraid to do that. So it requires someone saying, this is happening. And in this case, you know, that's what happened. This, the whole thing was able to get resolved and nobody died. Nobody died. And she was able to bring and what she wanted in her business, to structure her business in a way that felt right and aligned for her, because now she had opened this pathway for the abundance to come in.
That's really interesting. And I mean, I think a lot of times people think that it takes a colossal amount of arduous effort to make change. And I think what you're saying too is reminding people that sometimes simply a shift in perspective can be the breakthrough moment that makes everything different.
Yeah. And the hardest process is just something we make up in our mind. We build this big, monstrous thing that I have to tackle. And we create all this story, like, and it's really not. It's just the fear that we've had build up around this, but whatever the thing is, whether it's body, whether it's money, what needs to be done is usually simple. I remember, you know, for me, when my coach was like, you need to start making live videos. I was like, excuse me? No. And it felt like awful. Like I would sit at my phone, stare at the screen, like could not press that live button. Like I would be sweating. My stomach would be into knots because it did feel like climbing that big mountain. Right? Until I did it. So it's like I made it this big thing that it was not. So a lot of times it's actually facing the monster. And then you realize the monster is really not a monster at all.
Because what you just said is the monster is most often your fear, not the object itself or the action itself. You've created a story about why it's going to be hard or challenging or you'll get rejected or you can't do it. But in actuality, the possibility is already there. Your only enemy is really yourself.
Oh, I was going to say, a lot of time is the action that actually releases the energy. So that's why I don't spend too much time in processes. I mean, sometimes it's required, but a lot of time you can't, you know, people think like, oh, I'm going to go dig deep and I'm going to work on my fear and I have to clear my doubts. And it's like, you clear it by doing the thing. That's how you clear it. That's how the energy is released.
Yeah. And that goes along with, you know, our focus on this show is always about momentum, and it takes action to create momentum, right? So you have to be moving to pick up the speed. And one of the most kind of beautiful scientific equations, which I'm not going to quote perfectly, but it's this idea that usually the completion of the action, the most momentum and the most speed at achieving it happens in the last 20%. So that is something that I have to remind myself on a daily basis, because I am not the world's most patient individual, which is helpful in a lot of areas of my life. But at the same time, you have to be reminded that, you know, sometimes you aren't going to see the return until way later in the process. And that I think matters a lot in work that you're doing with your psyche. So you had said that, you know, there are a lot of modalities that people can try when they're removing blockages. And sometimes people will come and say, well, it's not working. It didn't work. I don't have instantaneous results. But I think the beauty in what you said at the beginning of this conversation is that that modality that you just tried, if you look at everything as it has removed a layer. So everything is impactful. It just may take, you know, multiple different processes to get to your end result, because you're going to do 80% of the work to see your true effort or your results.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I absolutely agree with that. And the one thing that I would add that I had to learn myself is that when you're so focused on the result, you're actually distracted and you can't really see the progress that you have made. because all you can see is that I am not there yet.
Oh God, that's a truth bomb if I've ever heard that. That is a good one. That is a good one because it's easy. I think that's a lot of times, you know, people want the participation medal. They want the win. They want to think that there's an end zone to the effort. So I think there is something really true about that, that just because the desired outcome has not happened yet does not mean that it won't. That idea really came to life for me. I watched the RBG documentary this weekend, and I thought a lot about her role in the world and her role as a justice. And what was really interesting is we've been celebrating, you know, the life of a woman that really was heroic in bringing all of us a lot of civil rights that we would not have had without Ruth. But when you look at her lifetime, when she went to Harvard, I mean, she was one of only a handful of women, and it took her about 30 years to really get to this pinnacle of her career. And early on in her life as a lawyer, I mean, she couldn't get employed. This woman could not get a job, right? So It's really interesting to think about, you know, how often we all want to see these results quickly, and how if you are patient and you allow everything to be part of your learning experience, you can have an amazing return, but you have to be patient.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the looking back slows you down. Like if you think of a race, like runners are running, if they're looking, like in the Olympics, they just, that gun goes off, they go. There's no looking back. If you're looking back,
you're slowing down. You're slowing drip. You're going to fall if you're looking backwards. If you're running an Olympic marathon, that's not safe.
Exactly. So if we could approach like things we're trying to achieve in life, it's like, first of all, the race is you against you. So the race is you against you, and there's really nowhere to get to. So these are the things, like for me, that I have to continuously remind myself of, is that there's nowhere to get to. As much as I think, oh, I want to get there. When I get there, I'm going to be like, what's next? Because there's always more.
So that is really juicy. I mean, that truly is it, right? If I think about the goals that I set out to achieve 3 years ago and how I've achieved most of them, but they're not my goals anymore. So to your point, there never really is an end zone, right? So we have to be less concerned with where we're getting to and asking ourselves better questions, which is probably more along the lines of, am I a better version of myself today? And am I learning and growing? And as long as that is happening, then you are making progress. You are building momentum.
Yes. One question that I love to ask is, what more can I create?
Oh, I love that. What more can I create?
And that just opens so much space, because there's no perimeters, there's no barriers, there's no conclusion, right? I'm open for the exploration of creation, of creating more. So what more can I create? And I just feel this burst of energy, and then a thing pops up. Oh, that's the thing. I'm gonna go do that.
That's beautiful. So if someone is sitting here listening and they're now asking themselves that question, what more can I create? And they've come up with a really juicy answer. How do they determine what their first action step is to start bringing that dream into reality?
The first thing I would say is to own that you want to create this thing. Like, maybe that would be step zero.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Meaning it comes, you claim it and you own it. Too often, people will talk themselves out of things before they even give it a shot. The stories will come up. Because when you go to the place of what's the first step, then sometimes the mind can go, well, maybe we do this, but if we do this, that might happen, and then that might happen, and I don't know. So I would say the first step is owning, claiming, and commit. Commit that this is happening. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but this is happening. And you lock that in. That's the first thing I would say you need to lock in, that I am claiming this desire. I am owning that I want this thing, that I am having it. And once you do that, that's really when inspiration comes in. That's really when you get that intuitive guidance of what to do.
That's
because
perfect.
Sometimes the brain can't map it out.
So if somebody's listening right now and they're saying, I need Gerda in my life to help me map out this next step in my life, how can they get in touch with you so that you can work on some of these exercises together?
So my website, I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook and on Instagram. My website is www.gerdavictor.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn, but I'm most active on Facebook. My business page on Facebook is Victorious Living Now. So you can find me there. And on Instagram, it's just Gerda Victor.
And I think everybody listening today should really stop and ask themselves this question. How can I create more? I think that's a perfect sentiment to leave people with and to really solidify this idea that we are only limited by ourselves and our fear. And by releasing some of these blocks and these beliefs, you can open yourself up to so much more in your finances, your life, your business, and the contribution you can give to this world. So I thank you so much for what is always a very inspiring and interesting conversation. And I hope that everyone listening got as much out of this conversation as I did. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Karen. It was my pleasure. I love having these conversations.
Okay, perfect. Well, happy Friday, everyone. And be sure to listen every week for Momentum Magnet, where we help you make change in your life.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.